Today on Real Radio.
What you want to be is a disciple of Jesus Christ. Please don't ever be a disciple or follower of Calvary Chapel. The moment you do that, you have fallen from grace according to the scriptures, and you have gotten yourself into the following of a man or a movement rather than the man, Christ Jesus, our Lord. It's very important. As a Christian, we follow Christ. We don't follow the Pope and we don't follow Billy Graham. We follow no man. We follow Jesus only. And because of that, we can declare that we're Christians. And if we're Christians, you cannot separate the truth of us being disciples.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his collection of studies called Why Should I? And we'll hear the beginning of a presentation called Why Should I Get Involved? You know, there are some pseudo-Christian cults and even splinter groups that advocate staying away from society as much as possible. But is this really being responsible to the scriptures? Is this what the Bible really teaches? Well, of course, the implied answer is no, and in fact, there are myriad passages that admonish and even command us to be doers and not just hearers. Let's get underway with this examination of Scripture that answers the question, why should I get involved? Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
This is our home church, and God is calling us to get involved, and this is why we are in this particular series. And so this morning, we're looking at why should I get involved? And we see this out of our study text, and that is Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Follow along with me. You should know it by heart by now. Acts 2:41 says, "Then those who gladly received his word, that is the preaching of Peter, they were baptized. And about that day, 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then awe or reverence came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, and they had all things in common, and they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and in the breaking of bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." There's four things that we look at this morning. Note taker, jot them down. Those four points up front are these. Why should I get involved? Why should you get involved in the work of God? Because just four, we could go on all day with points, you know, but I had to pick four because of time. I picked what I believe is the most important. The number one most important reason why we need to get involved in God's work is because we are disciples of Jesus Christ. That we are his disciples, and we'll see how in a moment. Number two, because exposure, that is to ministry, produces spiritual growth in our lives. We need to be exposed to spiritual challenges to grow spiritually. This is very basic in our Christian development. Three, because we desire a mature walk with God. We want to mature in our walk with the Lord. We want to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, says the Bible. And then fourthly, finally, why should we get involved? Because opportunities that God brings in our lives are open doors. To me, that's the most exciting part, because I want to assume that the first three points are natural yearnings and hungerings within our hearts to do these things. That it would culminate with looking and searching for open doors of opportunity. Now, let's look at our first point. Why should we get involved? We raise our hands, we say, yeah, this is my church. Or maybe, again, you're visiting and you're going to go back from vacation or back from this weekend to your home church. Well, this applies to you too then. Wherever you are growing and understanding God, the Bible, and the ministry of his people, wherever that's taking place, the place that you would call home, your home church, why should you get involved? honestly, we should, in a way, be so bent on getting involved that we're overwhelmed with avenues of ministry considerations. I attend my church, and so where should I be involved? Should I be involved in discipleship or parking lot ministry, or should I be involved in the music ministry? Whatever it is, every Christian needs to be asking themselves that question. Now we come to this very, very important first point. We are disciples of Jesus Christ. Why should we get involved? Because we're disciples of Jesus Christ. A moment ago, you raised your hands. Listen, could you still raise your hands if I were to ask you, are you a Christian? Some people would maybe not be able to raise their hand. They're not sure yet. But to those of us who can raise their hands and say, yes, I'm a Christian, have we ever stopped to realize what that means? We are saying, I'm a Christian, which the word means to follow Christ. That means we're disciples. You can't be a Christian without being a disciple. You say, man, what's a disciple anyway? What is a disciple? Have you ever been to the airport and you see those people walking around the little orange robes selling flowers to you? Those are the disciples of Sun Young Moon. Sun Moon. So, that's a lot of light for you there, huh? Sun and Moon. Sun Young Moon. The Moonies. You ask them, what are you? Who are you? We are disciples of Sun Young Moon. What does that mean? That means that they adhere to, follow, obey his teachings. If you are a Mormon, you are an adherent, you are a disciple of Joseph Smith. If you're a Jehovah's Witness, you are an adherent, you are a follower of the teachings of Charles Russell. If you're a Christian, when you use that term Christian, you are declaring, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. That's who I'm following. And I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. There are disciples of the Moonies. There are disciples of Mormonism. There's disciples of Jehovah's Witnesses. But what you want to be is a disciple of Jesus Christ. Please don't ever be a disciple or follower of Calvary Chapel. The moment you do that, you have fallen from grace according to the scriptures, and you have gotten yourself into the following of a man or a movement rather than the man, Christ Jesus, our Lord. It's very important. As a Christian, we follow Christ. We don't follow the Pope and we don't follow Billy Graham. We follow no man. We follow Jesus only. And because of that, we can declare that we're Christians. And if we're Christians, you cannot separate the truth of us being disciples. Disciples. When we mention or say the word or term disciple, we begin to think, you know, what does a disciple look like? Is it like the Mooney? No. Hey, is it the Christian with a three-piece suit on? No, not necessarily. Is it somebody wearing a robe with sandals walking along the shore and, you know, looking New Testament 2,000 years ago? No, not necessarily. Disciples fit into their culture of every age, of every millennia. It means to follow Christ. And if we're going to be doing that, there are certain things that must be true in our lives, church. God wants to use us. And the first thing that we want to realize as a disciple of Jesus Christ is this. Jot it down, would you? Is that we are people who watch to see what Jesus does. So Jackie, put that in the present tense. We watch to see what Jesus does or what he's going to do. That's exactly right. Jesus is alive and well. And he lives in and through our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is alive. 2,000 years ago, he rose from the dead from a tomb in Jerusalem. He is alive. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit now lives through the believer, the Christian, the disciple, to bring about God's will in the earth. So we want to consider watching Jesus. Well, how do we watch Jesus now? We look to the Bible. We look to the Bible because the Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. So when we look to see how God treated people in the Old and New Testament, the same is true today. We want to mimic, follow the person of Christ. In doing that, we will watch him in our discipleship training. Matthew chapter 5, verse 2 says, "Then Jesus opened his mouth and he taught them, saying..." So they watched Jesus, they were following him, and Jesus would always take the opportunity to teach a crowd. And he taught them, saying, that is, he gave them doctrine, he gave them teaching. And that's how they learned. The word disciple means one who is a learner or a pupil of another. To be an adherent of a doctrine or a teaching that is proactive. That means the teacher gives the word, and the disciple is to get up and go do it. Hey, church, listen to that. God speaks His word, the Bible. We're supposed to read it and do it. And we would sit here today and go, yeah, right on. You do it, Jack. Well, wait a minute. I can only do one part of it. No, you do it all. I am not going to do it all. And I can't. We're Christians. We are called to this experience together. God has given me the gift and the ability to do what I'm doing. But listen, God has given you gifts and abilities according to the Holy Spirit that I cannot do. And we come together. More on that in a moment. But the fact of the matter is we watch Jesus to learn how to minister. One of Gail Irwin's, if not Gail Irwin's, most successful book is The Jesus Style. Why is that such a fantastic book? It's because it's ministry according to Jesus Christ. Not Calvary Chapel, not some denomination, not the Lutheran or the Baptist. Ministry according to Jesus Christ. That's true ministry. To do it the way Jesus taught us to do it. Paul says in Titus chapter 1, verse 1, he says of himself, Paul, a servant or bondservant of God and an apostle. A bondservant. Guys, listen up. Most of the ladies, maybe most of the guys, already know this. It's getting your ear pierced. Say, what? Yeah, bondservant. When you worked your 6 years as a slave, the seventh year you were released. But if you didn't want to be released, you had a good master, you had a good lord. What you wanted to do at the end, you didn't want to leave. You would go to your master and you would say, I want to be your doulos, your bondservant. He would make the decision. Okay, I want you too. You're mine. I want you to stay with me. Do we agree on that? Yes, we agree on that. I don't want to leave. I want to spend the rest of my life being your servant because you're such a good master. That master would take that servant out to the doorpost of his house and put his earlobe on the wooden pillar there and take a hammer with a piece of metal and, man, right into the earlobe, seal the mark of the ownership. This man is now a bondservant of, and you would fill in the name of who you are. This man is now a willful servant of my realm. And James said that, Paul said it, John said it, Peter said it. It's part of being a disciple. Jesus Christ owns my life. He died on the cross. The Bible says He bought me with His blood. He rose again from the dead. And at some point in time, church, you and I together said at one point in time, I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. We love Him as our Savior. We struggle with Him being our Lord, and we shouldn't do that. He knows what's absolutely best for us. He's the only one that can take the helm, the reins of our lives. Look what we've done. We try to do it. We try to control our lives. Look what we do with it. You say, well, I've done a pretty good job so far. And I'm glad. But there will come a time when the reins run out of your hands and you'll have to call upon the Lord. He is both Lord and Savior. He's the creator of heaven and earth. And He made you. And He knows what's best for you and me. And He tells us that He wants us to follow Him. Jesus repeatedly, over and over again, came to His followers and said, come and follow Me. And He made them disciples, bondservants, to be a willful slave. The word means a slave who has chosen his own servitude with his master. So when people looked at Jesus, what did they learn when they watched Him? You know what? Listen, and by the way, if you are here this morning and you're a skeptic, and I often say this because I love skeptics. I am a skeptic personally, and so my heart goes out to you. You're a doubter. You're not going to easily believe in something. I respect that. You want some evidence or proof. Consider this. All of the eyewitness accounts of Jesus, His disciples, His enemies, and even the Roman Empire attested to the fact that Jesus, when He ministered and when He walked and when He moved among people, He loved them. He was known for loving people. Even His enemies agreed on that. He was known for caring for people. He was known for serving people. Loving, caring, and serving. As a church, right now we're kind of sequestered in this little building off the highway, and we're just us here together now. But when God moves us to that place that's very public, what will it mean? It will mean this. Not that the church gets bigger. That's not important. But we here, the church now, that we are loving and that we are caring and that we are serving others. The world may never read their Bible, they may never tune into a radio broadcast, but they're going to watch you and me, aren't they? And they watch us. They watch us all the time. They want to see what kind of language we use. They want to see what we drink. They want to see what we eat. Somebody who knows you're a Christian might even follow you down the aisle of the store to see what you buy. It's interesting. Luke chapter 2, verse 48 says, when they saw Jesus, they were amazed at him. Isn't that great? First of all, I realized the Lord that I'm following, people were amazed by him. In Mark chapter 7, after Jesus did that great miracle with the man who was deaf and unable to speak, the Bible says there, down around verse 35 or so, it says that the people confessed and said, Jesus does all things well. So what do you have against Jesus if you're a skeptic today? He does everything well. And if you watch his life, it's a blessing. Church, people should be able to watch our lives and be blessed. They should be able to come over to our homes or find us in public and be blessed by a witness. Not that we glow. Look, if we walked across our pools, we wouldn't walk very far. Okay? We're nobody special, but we follow a special God. And he's big. And if we're going to be disciples, that means we're going to be Christians. And you can't be a Christian without being a disciple. And you can't be a disciple without being a Christian. What are we going to look like? What are we going to love like? What are we going to care like? And what are we going to serve like? All right, here's where it gets tough. Are you ready? It just kind of goes downhill from here on out, okay? So hang on. The truth is that we may raise our hands and say that we're Christians, but it doesn't matter what we say. It matters what and who we are, how we live our lives. And if somebody was deaf and they could not speak and they moved into our homes and they lived for 1 month, would they be able to say at the end of that month, I have lived and visited a Christian home? Does it mean it's sinless? No. Does it mean there's not arguments or debates or frustrations or the things of life? No. But there's love and forgiveness and grace and mercy. We're real. And the Word of God is real. It's consulted. And his name is praised rather than cursed. The world is fed up with the wrong view of Christianity. The world mocks Christians, and you know what? They should, by and large, based upon the tragic witness of a professing church who, James warned, we can become a hearer of the Word and not a doer. Well, we need to be listening to hear what Jesus will say too. Not only watching, but listening. What did the people hear? Not only what they saw, but what did they hear when Jesus spoke? They heard things like this. A woman caught in the act of adultery. You and I would think God would fry her on the spot. He didn't. He said, woman, where are your accusers? She says, Lord, I think they're all gone. There's none here. They've left. He says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. That's what the world needs to hear from us. We have to be careful as a church that we're not exclusive, that we don't have doors that are closed, but our doors will be open. That we need to be inviting, not compromising, don't get me wrong, but inviting. When the world drives by, do they go, oh, that's that stuck-up group of people? Those holy rollers are those more righteous than thou kind of people. I hope not. I hope the world can say, you know what? That's just a church full of normal people. They're just normal people. But their lives have been touched by God. That's important. What does the world hear from us? Well, they heard things like this from Jesus. You're forgiven. They heard things like this. I love you. You are my friends, Jesus said. Jesus says, those of you who are my disciples, go ye therefore into all the world You see, a clique or a club shuts the doors behind it and doesn't let anybody in. That's a strange thing that God would have no part with. Not only watching and not only listening, but understanding. Why should we get involved? Well, because we are disciples of Jesus Christ, and now I understand how to be His disciple. When I read the Bible, I realize that living with Jesus is hands-on ministry. You gotta love it. It's hands-on ministry. Everything, make a note of this if it strikes you profoundly. Everything that Jesus taught on, He then got up and did it in front of His disciples. Many of us have in life experienced maybe a condescending authoritative person or maybe a parent say, "Do not do as I do, do as I say." You can tell kids that all you want. It's not going to click. Don't do as I do, do as I say. Sorry, Dad, they're going to do exactly as you do. That's how God wired us as people. We learn by watching and listening, and we learn by understanding. This is what I hear, Junior says. This is what I see, says Junior. So this is what I formulate and understand of the world around me. And it's something. Man, have you noticed kids, especially so tiny? You see a little guy still in diapers, and the little guy will mimic mom or dad perfectly. Have you seen how that happens? It's something. This last week, my little godson was down from Santa Barbara, and we were goofing around with him. And I started acting like I was sneezing. And what did he start doing? Sneezing. And his dad is a surfer and a guitar player and a motocross rider. So we would play with him and say, "Isaiah, ride the bike, and he'd go, vroom, vroom, vroom. "Isaiah, play the guitar," and he'd go like this. "Isaiah, hang 10, and he would go. He would go right into it. And we love it because it's comical, it's cute, but in all of that, there's almost a passing of the baton, so to speak. And the world is watching. Our children are watching. Our wives are watching. Our husbands are watching. The neighbors are watching.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sometimes called teaching by example. Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study called "Why Should I Get Involved?" And of course, this is only part of this presentation, which means we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Why Should I Get Involved? Part of the series called Why Should I? Which is a collection of teachings that illustrate from Scripture how we are to conduct ourselves in the presence of our Maker, as well as with each other, and even the world. The Why Should I series. And if you'd like to hear the entire 17-part series, uncut, well, you'll be glad to know that these presentations are all on one MP3 CD. And for your gift to Real Radio of any amount, we'll be happy to send it to you. Whether you call, click, or write, remember the title, Why Should I? And of course, whatever you contribute, it's all tax deductible. Visit us at realradioactive.org, where you'll be able to read about it under the banner Special Offer. In fact, you'll see a listing of the topics covered. For the cost of a stamp, along with your gift, you may write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. You can also get in touch by telephone. Our toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio was made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.